Turn with me to the Gospel of John. Now, this passage is going to be very familiar to you. You won't even need your Bible for that first verse, and you'll probably be able to say it by memory with me. But John chapter 3. So as you find that, let me just start with my message. Are you ready? And they lived happily ever after. Isn't that a great way to start the message? Now, I think it's a great way to end the message too. You know, we love to tell the stories and we like the ones that end well. I'm going to tell you, I read a lot of books and when they get to an ending that was just kind of sour, I just kind of want to go and throw it away. You know, I'm going to tell you this though. When you read this book, when you read the Word of God, one of the things that you can count on is that when you get to the end, it's pretty scary. And yet, they live happily. You know, I thought some of you would be a little more excited than that. Happily after. We love that part. We love the part where it talks about living happily ever after. And I'm going to tell you, I believe that we're ready for that. We're ready for the happily ever after part. We're in the midst of all the difficulties and the trials and the pains and the problems. But we are coming to the day when we just remember this. That God is going to bring His children home. And they will indeed live happily ever after. It's the wonderful conclusion of many a story, but it is the wonderful conclusion of today's message as well. But just as in this life, there's much to do before we get to that last phrase. Amen? You got to have the rest of the story, if you will. Before we get to the happily ever after, I want you to know that God's Word gives us the directions for how we're going to get there. Today is the very first sermon of what I'm going to call the End Times series. Over the next weeks, maybe months, I'm going to be preaching a series of messages that are going to have to do with the end times. We're going to talk about the revelation to John. We're going to talk about what's going to happen through the tribulation. We're going to talk about what is the millennium. We're going to talk about Jesus' return. We're going to talk about what's going to happen when we get to heaven. We are going to look over a lot of different things, and today we are starting with what does God's Word say about eternity. Would you stand with me in honor of reading God's Word? We're going to read John chapter 3, beginning with verse 16. If you're at home watching, stand with us as we read God's Word. Do you know this first verse? Say it with me. Don't even look at it if you know it. For God so loved the world beautiful. Now let's look at verse 17. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Do you know what that is? That's good news. That's great news. Verse 18. He who believes in Him is not condemned. That's good news. But folks, the whole story is completed here. Because it says, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Folks, we will live happily ever after when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Would you pray with me? Father, we are so grateful for your word. You lay it out for us, Lord. You don't leave us guessing. You don't leave us just hoping. God, you tell us exactly what we need to know about eternity. And we are thankful, Father, for this scripture that is so dear to our hearts. Lord, would you help us not just to put it into our hearts, but God, to have it on our lips that we might be able to share with others how they too can come to know that they can live with our Lord Jesus Christ, our loving Heavenly Father, throughout eternity. It is in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Would you be seated? Folks, we started by reading this passage in John chapter 3. And this morning, we're going to cover six events that will lead to eternity. Now, I know that you know that living happily ever after is the last part. But there are things that lead up to it. And I'm going to tell you that you need to know each and every one. This is a very basic message today. This is one that you can share with others who say, well, what is it all about? You can say, listen, I just happen to have a little outline here. And by the way, if you would like, in days to come, as the weeks progress, I'm going to have these outlines of the sermons, not just the outlines, but the full teaching outline of these sermons on our website and available here. And I'm going to suggest that if you would, keep an ongoing list so that you'll have a chance to study. This might even be a good study one of these days when you do a home study in your home. So, event number one, what is the very first thing in your life that begins your eternity? Your life, your birth. Because you see, every person that is conceived is known and loved by God. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Listen, we don't just exist. We have a life. We were created in the image of God, not just to exist, but for a purpose. And that purpose is to praise and glorify the Lord our God. Now, you did not exist in the past. You can't go back and say that you always were, as God always was. You didn't exist in the past, but you will forever exist in the future. Now you're going, is that for everybody? Yes, it is. Every person that has ever been conceived will have an existence forever. Now you understand that those existences, there's two places. We'll talk about that later. Man was created with a very unique identity and with a responsibility. Don't you know that God has a reason for your existence? You not only have a reason and identity, but you have a responsibility to find out what that is. And I'm going to tell you, it's spelled out right here in God's Word. What do we do? What are you to do? In Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 and 28, it says this. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Folks, we are to reign over this earth that He has given us responsibility over, and we're to take care of it. Boy, there are a lot of messages that can come out of that, amen? We move forward in that because you see, the very first event of eternity for you is your life. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 tells us that on this earth, we live as spirit, we live as soul, and we live as body. Folks, we realize that there's more to us than just a physical existence. There is this emotional, this mental thing within us. We know that we have the mental side of our life. But folks, it's not just the body, and it's not just the soul. It is the spirit. God puts a spirit in every one of us that's going to live forever. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, listen to this, your whole soul and your whole body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So folks, this is one of those passages that give us a hint of what's coming, that every part of us should be preserved blameless for God. That means our heart, soul, and mind. That includes our body. So that means this body, not this one exactly, we're going to get a new one, amen? And all God's, you know what, you young people really don't seem to care a whole lot, but us older folks do. We're going to get a new body. We're going to get a new body. Our mind is going to be renewed. Our spirit's going to be renewed. We're going to live with all the understanding that we've had here. We'll know each other, so our mind's going to be preserved. The next event that's going to happen as far as eternity concerns is your death. Now, I want to talk about that because a lot happens between our birth and our death. But most people will experience a physical death. Now, why do I say most people? Because we already know that a couple have been taken up, right? And we also know this, our Lord God is coming back, amen? So, if it just so happens that it's soon, and I'm believing it will, There are some of us who will not experience the physical death. But the Scripture tells us that our physical body, if the Lord doesn't return, is going to pass away. But our spirit is going to live for eternity. Forever and ever and ever. The death of our body is the door. It is the exit from life here on this earth to the spiritual eternal existence. Now, following our exit from earth, our soul and our spirit live on. They live on forever. God's Word says so. Our life and our soul and our spirit continue after our physical death. Do you realize that God's Word says that to be absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. So there is not the end of the existence. Our death is not the end. Folks, it truly, in all manners of speaking, is the beginning of our eternity. Around this world, a lot of people believe that they have lived previous to this life. It's called reincarnation. I know you've heard folks that believe in this or talk about this. They thought that they existed as another human being. They thought that they existed as an animal or a bug or a monkey or something. Folks, I'm going to tell you this. That is a lie of Satan. Let me tell you why it's a lie of Satan. Now, why in the world would Satan want anybody to think that they had lived before? Because he's hoping that they'll think, well, maybe I'll get to live again, and maybe I don't have to take care of so much in this life as I need to. And so he's hoping that people will neglect their salvation and that they can just try again. Folks, I'm going to tell you, God's Word says that there is appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. There will not be a second opportunity. There is no such thing as reincarnation. There is no such thing as soul sleep. It's just not taught in God's Word. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, again, says that every man will die, and it's only going to happen once. Jesus said that after our death, our soul is either with God in heaven, or it's apart from God in hell. And that is immediate. We have many scriptures. We'll talk about this in days to come. But I'm going to go through all six of the things that are going to happen with our eternity. Matthew chapter 25, verse 34 says this, "Then the king will say to those on his right hand," now this is when he comes back and brings them all home, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you." Wait a minute. Kingdom. And how is it described? Prepared for you. For who? All those that are on the right hand of God, which is going to be whom? All of His children. He said, this kingdom is going to be prepared for you. Inherit the kingdom prepared from you from the foundation of the world. Then verse 41 says, then He will also say to those on His left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire, listen, prepared for the devil and his angels. So, there is an everlasting kingdom that is prepared for every person that is ever born in this world. Why? Because the Bible says that it is God's heart and His wish that every man will be saved. So He prepares heaven for them. So understand this, people. God does not send people to hell. People send themselves to hell by rejecting God. It says here that He prepared them a place in heaven. Everyone. But that the everlasting fire was prepared for whom? The devil and his angels. But Satan wants to deceive you to take you with him. The second event is our death, and it begins wherever we will spend our eternity. The third event is the destination. And that we read here where the Scripture says, welcome into his heaven or depart from me. Destination. We reach our eternal destination after our death and not before. Jesus identified only two possibilities. Only two locations in the afterlife. We already know what they are. Number one is heaven. He said in John chapter 14, verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to what? Prepare a place for you. Y'all know that's one of my favorite passages. And then the Scripture says there is a second location, and it's called hell. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 33, the Scripture says, evil will not escape the condemnations of hell. Both are prepared places. Both of them are. And both are real. That is why Jesus so clearly explained how to avoid hell and how to get to heaven. He made it clear. John 3:16. You know it. You quoted it just a few moments ago. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not what? Perish. But have what? Everlasting life. Folks, Jesus clearly explained how to avoid heaven, how to avoid hell, and how to get to heaven. We don't want to avoid heaven, amen? John chapter 3 verse 18 said, as we read earlier, "For him who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already." Why? Because of our sin, as was already expressed very well by our music minister, Nathan, just a few minutes ago. "He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son." And then, folks, after the destination is confirmed, the Scripture says that one of the next events is going to be the resurrection. You go, "Well, Pastor, you're sure skipping a lot." Yeah, I am. But I'm hitting the highlights, the main things about what's going to go on. The resurrection. I know there's much. We're going to cover what happens between every one of these events. But these are the major events. The next event that's going to happen after our death, after Jesus comes back and gets us, there's going to be a resurrection. You see, not a lot of people are going to know about the rapture when we are snatched out of this world. The Scripture says that only those who are going to go will be with Jesus are going to see that. We're going to hear the trumpet. Woo! We're going to see Him coming. I said, I know I got some good Aggies in the house. Y'all got to help me here. We're going to see Him coming. He is going to come to us. We're going to meet Him in the air, the Scripture says. And that's when our bodies that were left behind are going to be raised up. They're not going to be worth living in. That's why He says He's going to give us a new body. We're going to talk about that later. But the Scripture says, folks, that the resurrection is coming. And we will receive a resurrected body. It's going to be brand new. It's going to be immortal. Listen to John chapter 5, 28 and following. He said, "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear His voice and come forth. Those who have done good." What is good? Believing in Jesus Christ. "And they will be brought to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation." So understand this, folks. There is going to be a resurrection of every person. One into the kingdom of God, and one to the eternal separation of God. You're going to have a body in either place. And it's either going to be glorified or it's going to be horrified. Which one is it going to be? Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I love this. This should actually be, I've been told a number of times, and you can go ahead and laugh at the pastor's joke now. I figure that's probably what I'm going to get after I make my joke. This is the national nursery's verse. This is the verse for the church nursery. It says, "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." I told you, I did apologize before I shared it with you. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says this. That bad, John? Okay. "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." And all God's people said, amen. Listen, death seems to be our enemy here. Listen, death is going to be swallowed up in victory. Jesus is going to transform this earthly body so that it will be conformed to His glorious body. I'm sharing a lot of scriptures with you today. That's why they're written in your bulletin. Philippians 3:20 says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body so that it may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. Folks, if He's able to create the world, He can give us a new body. Everything else is subject to Him, so will the cells for our new body. We're going to have a new body. The resurrection. And then the next thing after the resurrection, the next big event is going to be the great white throne judgment. We're going to cover that in more detail later. But then it's going to be the reward. For at the great white throne judgment, folks, that's when you and I are going to appear before God. And then we're going to have a second judgment. It's called the Bema or Bema, however you want to pronounce that Greek word, the secondary judgment. And that's when you are going to get a reward from God the Father. You're going to be rewarded. You go, wait a minute. I get a reward? If you did anything in the flesh, you'll get a reward. I'm talking about if you did anything in this body. And if you did it for the Lord. Now, I said in the flesh, and boy, that's a misnomer, is it not? Because if we do it in the flesh and it's for the flesh, you get nothing. But if you do it while you're in this body and you do it for God, you're going to receive a reward. God's Word says so. Listen to what it says. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. John chapter 5, verse 22 tells us that everyone's work is going to be judged by Jesus Christ. It says, for the Father has committed all judgment to the Son. Our works, dear friends, make a difference. When you do work for the Lord, when you serve His church, when you serve His people, when you do it to the honor and glory of God, you're going to receive a reward for it. And our works will determine the degree of our reward in heaven. God's Word says so. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 and following says this, then I saw a great white throne, and Him who sat on it, and from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works, by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it. And death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. They were each judged according to what? To their works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, I know I didn't have to read all that, but I felt compelled to. Folks, our works will determine the degree of reward you receive in heaven. Now listen to this. It goes both ways. Your works will determine the degree of your retribution in hell. That's what God says. If it happens in heaven, those degrees are going to happen in hell. Let me just share a verse with you on that. Matthew chapter 23, verse 14 says, woe to you scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore, you will receive a greater condemnation. Do you get it? Folks, your works on this earth are going to be recompensed, either for the good or for the bad. I thought, you know, this would be a great day for me to have all of our committee chairmen here with the sign that says, anybody want to serve on a committee? Anybody want to serve in the church? Folks, what you do on this earth makes a huge difference of what goes on in heaven. Do you remember that He said, as we enter, He said, enter into the kingdom. You have been faithful in a few things. I am going to put you as a ruler over many things. How? According to your works on earth. Now, does it mean that if you didn't have a whole lot of works on earth that you're not going to get any kind of reward? That you're not going to get any kind of rewards? You won't get any rewards, but will you get to be in heaven? Yes! But folks, you just want to show up or you want to join the party? Folks, listen, we need to be serving the Lord. Scripture tells us that we are rewarded according to our works. And then there is one more event. And you know what it is? And they lived happily ever after. Because God's Word says that after we go through that judgment, and after we receive our rewards, after we have an opportunity to cast our crowns at Jesus' feet, we're going to live forever. Our eternity is the last event, and it's going to last, and it's going to last, and it's going to last. We'll live forever in the presence of our Lord, God, and King, or we will exist forever apart from Him. Which will it be? You're given the opportunity. Eternity is a real life, dear people. Eternity is in a very real place. You're going to experience the consequences of your beliefs and your actions on this earth, whether good or bad. Matthew said in chapter 25, verse 46, in Matthew, Jesus said that those who have rejected Him will experience everlasting punishment, while those who have chosen Him will receive eternal life. Dear friends, our Lord Jesus Christ promised that His friends would be with Him, and that He would prepare for them a mansion in glory. You remember this scripture, John chapter 14. I already quoted part of it. I'm going to share it with you again. Jesus came to his disciples, and they were disturbed. They were unhappy about Him leaving them. And Jesus said, "Don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it weren't so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And I'm going to receive you to Myself, so that where I am, there you may be also." Happily ever after is a great ending. Amen? But in your life, dear friends, you're given the choice. The fact of the matter is that God has given you the opportunity to choose for yourself how you will end. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Choose whom you will serve. Would you pray with me?